has the survivors. Anyway, I kind of suspected that it would be heartbeats before people jumped on the bandwagon and started politicizing this, and the people in Congress would start hemming and hawing about gun control, like the last time we had one of these tragedies, and they did pass a whole bunch of regulations, and there were regulations that did absolutely nothing, because when the assault weapons ban was in effect, it didn't really stop any crimes from happening. As you say, the genie's out of the bottle, and as long as there's a black market for these weapons to be available, the criminals will get them. I'll let it drop for just a moment. Anyway, as I was saying, yeah, okay, this young fellow, he was a mental defective, so by law he wasn't supposed to have a firearm. Every school in America is a gun-free zone, so that was another law that was broken. And he was under 21, so he shouldn't have been in possession of a firearm in Connecticut anyway. Did the legislation work? No. Now, I think the real thing we should be looking at here is, what are we feeding our children? Some of these Saturday morning cartoons are incredibly violent. The video games are more so. And in primetime TV, you have TV shows on every night that begin with a gruesome murder in the first minute of the show, and then they spend the other 59 minutes trying to find out who did it. So, again, what are we feeding our children? I mean, the guns were always there, and we never had epidemic problems like this. And then you get a place like Switzerland, where one out of every two people is armed, and they have the lowest crime rate in the world. So there are other issues that, you know, we need to take a serious look at. And there are a certain percentage of the people that they really need to be institutionalized for their own good. N2RDB.
Stage in the game to establish what we would like to call gun control, where if we admit the number of weapons that are out there, and I'm guessing the number is something like 300 million firearms are in the possession of United States citizens, something in that vicinity. I may be 2 to 1 wrong, but in that vicinity, 300 million firearms are out there. For us to think we're going to go out there and capture them, control them, and really establish gun control, I mean, Congress, which is going to be very slow to act on this because the NRA support of those individual congressmen is going to not allow that to take place. So even if Obama establishes very strict-sounding laws and regulations, the chances of us getting control of those guns is fairly small. What I think is more important is not gun control, but gun safety. You're allowed to carry a concealed weapon in the state of Texas, the independent republic of Texas, call it state if you like. And from their point of view, from the Texans' point of view, an armed society is a polite society. From their point of view, they don't have very much of the problem. So maybe the real answer here is gun safety by way of education. If the population is sufficiently educated on the subject, let me drop, then hopefully that mother of that particular child in Connecticut who legally possessed those particular weapons. She was adult, and under proper circumstances, she purchased those weapons and owned them, and they were in her house. However, the education, from my point of view, was lacking. She, as a firearm owner, needed to control within her house where those weapons are located, what access existed, and whether or not her less than adult, troubled offspring was allowed access to those weapons. And so, as I see it, gun safety procedures were not properly recognized, honored, and didn't take place. So gun control, I think that genie is too far out of the bottle, too long, we're not going to get it. But with proper education, I'd like to believe a lot of the mistakes that take place with those firearms that are going to be there. You and I, Dennis, can jump up and down, write all the rules in the book, and think that we're going to suddenly have complete control of those roughly 300 million firearms out there. We can dream about that. It's not going to happen. What's now required is proper education for safety procedures of those firearms. That's a guess on my part. You may have another opinion on this one, Tim. N2RDB, wait for all the beeps, and then K2RIW.
I do agree about the education. Very, very important. When I was a young boy, I went to a summer camp in the summer of 73. I was 9 years old. And one of the events that was offered was riflery. And they took the boys five at a time, had them lie prone facing downrange, handed each a single shot rifle, taught them basic safety rules, taught us basic safety rules, and they gave us the ammunition one round at a time. They told us when we could load it, when we could close the bolts, when we could unlatch the safety, and when we could squeeze the trigger. And they did train us. And part of the lesson was the instructor placing a watermelon downrange and taking a 12-gauge shotgun and blowing it to smithereens. He said, this is what happens. And that could be you if somebody handled the weapon improperly. And I think it made an impression on this particular group of boys. So yes, education is absolutely essential. And I think the whole glorification of violence on TV and in the video games, we need to take a serious look at that. Because some people are, they're clearly getting a bad message from that. N2RDB.
Yeah, what's on our television and what's in our games, how much of an influence that has, because a normal, rational person knows the difference between reality and non-reality. By the same token, we used to think in the naive days that pornographic material creates sex crimes. And there's lots and lots of psychological studies on that which lead you to believe that, if anything, pornographic material has the opposite effect. It doesn't create sex crimes. So the fact that we've got violent games, violent cartoons, violent television programs, and a sane person, and there's a tough one, a sane person knows the difference between what's called entertainment versus reality. Again, with proper education about what a firearm can do. You had the beautiful in front of your face demonstration of that watermelon being scattered by a 12-gauge shotgun. And you can imagine, if that was a human head, what that would look like. So therefore, the violence that can be created by a firearm became burned into your memory, as I see it, Tim, as part of the educational process. And when you listen to those interviews, let me drop... You listen to those interviews by the physicians who did the autopsies of those, at least some of those children that perished during this event. And you see, and you can sense, he's not willing to give you all the gory details, for darn good reasons. But he's describing the fact that high-power assault weapon, 3 to 13 gunshot wounds occurred on each one of those children. And you and I can imagine what they look like and what those... You can imagine why the teachers that were escorting those children out of the building were telling them to close their eyes, hold on to the shoulders of the person in front of you, and just follow me and walk out of this building. Because for those images to be burned into the six-year-old child's mind as they pass by that carnage is just out of sight. Huge educational problem here. How in the world that mother allowed those very high-power weapons to be purchased and contained within her home, And did she do it? She's not a shooting enthusiast. She's not a hunter. She apparently was doing it maybe for self-protection, but in theory, with proper education, there's all kinds of ways that the ammunition and those firearms should have been stored in a safe manner so that her less-than-adult, troubled, psychologically troubled child did not have access to them. Lots and lots of lessons to be learned here. So as I see it, the only way we're going to establish firearm safety in the United States is with proper education and establishing these procedures. We're never going to control all these weapons. We're never going to recapture them. And the harder you try to recapture them, the more valuable they'll become on the black market. That's just the way human nature works. And with any further questions and comments on all of the above, I know this is pretty far off the subject of TechNet, but still, we so-called educated people, in theory,
repeater,
educated people can make some suggestions. There are many countries in the world where they don't have this problem. The United Kingdom was smart enough in the beginning not to allow the firearms to be entering their country in the first place. Well, we're way beyond that one. We haven't got that option anymore. But still, like we were used, like Dennis and Tim were telling us, Switzerland, among other countries, has a hell of a lot of firearms, but they insist that the population have proper education. And their amount of firearm carnage is a very small fraction of what we've got. How in the world are we going to establish all of the education that's required in order to establish firearm safety in the United States? Wes wanted to make a comment on this one, and then I'll take calls from other people who want to make a comment. Wes, go right ahead with yours.
Yes, thank you. I have made a comment twice already on this repeater. One of the comments is that this country is sick, seriously sick. But because they found that very much offending to the people, I could say when the person is sick, it doesn't mean that this person is not a great person. And if the country is sick, it doesn't mean that it is not a great country. It's just that the country is sick. I've checked about 15 or 17 countries in Europe. None of them have a history of violence of this kind, ladies and gentlemen. And one record that I found was 1924. That was in Vilnius. At that time, that was the monarchy, Austro-Hungarian monarchy, and it was supposed to be a Polish territory at that time. So that's how far it is. The conclusion might be that those people don't have an access to the firearms. The population of this, including Russia, is greater than that of the United States. So if one part of the world, in many different governments, we don't have such events, and we have that in United States, that means United States is sick and has to be treated for it. One of the ways of doing that would be forbid the firearms, as Europe did, the oldest possible civilization that America came from, and to exist.
Comment. I'll pick you up in a second. To call the country sick, you're going to get a lot of flack on that one, Wes. To call them firearm uneducated, I'm going to agree with you 100%. The amount of firearm education given in our schools, in our Boy Scout camps, whatever, is way under the amount that's required to be in proper proportion to the number of firearms that are in the possession of the population now. So those firearms are there. We've got to admit that. And if the naive congressman thinks it's going to write rules to suddenly create control of those firearms, they're extremely naive. They're whistling in the dark. Nothing's going to happen per se. So control of them give you 5% of the solution you're looking for. The other 95%, if we ever get a solution, has got to be by education. We have to admit that they're here. And even if we're horrified by firearms, and if the parents say, no, I don't want you giving education to my child about firearms in that public school, if they're naive enough to say that, as they do say with I don't want you giving any of my children sex education in the school. Those are very naive opinions from my point of view. When somebody has a loaded weapon, whether it be a firearm or the equivalent of a loaded weapon, which is a teenager with raging hormones, in either case, I'm calling that a loaded weapon, the only defense you have beyond that point is proper education. You've got to educate that population as to how to properly use those weapons. That's an opinion. And the person who said that comment, who was that? Well, wait for a couple of seconds beyond the beeps and then give us your comment. Start over your name and your call with us too, please. K2RAW in the tech net.
N2RDB is the one with the comment. Well, Leslie, if you feel our country is sick, you know, nobody is forcing you to stay here. I think this is a wonderful country. Some of the people in it are sick. Some are sicker than others, apparently. And some of the sickest people we have are in Congress right now. Because these people are now going to lecture us about gun rights after they've let guns slip into the hand of Mexican drug cartels? Okay, yeah. And even if you did establish gun control, I mean, alcohol prohibition worked so well back in the 1920s. But yes, as Dick says, education is 95% of the solution. Now, keeping that in mind, the NRA had created a safety course, the Eddie Eagle safety course, and they wanted to push that would be taught in all American schools. This was back in the 90s, and the Congress at that time said no. So I feel that Eddie Eagle program would be a very fine starting point. N2RDB, back to net.
Respond to this, because you guys don't listen to what I say. Just listen to my words, guys.
2H Mobile.
The tendency just to, and that's what I don't like, guys, because it's an act of ignorance. I said, if the person is sick, it does not mean that this is a great person. If the country is sick, it doesn't mean that this is not a great country. The country needs a treatment and to examine.
Lou recognized, and I'll pick up with you in a second, Lou. I think I see the concept you're trying to express when you say the country is sick, Wes. I see the concept you're trying to express. You got to be careful, though. That particular combination of words will create an emotional response of U.S. citizens. So you got to find a different way of expressing. You have to find a different way of expressing that particular concept. Is my suggestion. But I know what you're saying. What you really mean is a certain significant percentage of the population possesses and has access to firearms and does not have proper education as to how to properly use and control those firearms that are in their possession. Therefore, those firearms end up in the hands of juveniles that misuse them because those juveniles didn't have the right education and they're not properly secured. If you possess firearms in your house, even though you've got the right paperwork filled out that says you're allowed to have them, if you're not properly securing those and keeping them out of the access of juveniles and juveniles without education, then you are not being a responsible citizen who is possessing those firearms. That's a bunch of opinions. Lou's got the solution to all this. I'm having some fun with Lou. NY2H, K2LAW. Go ahead, Lou.
Thank you very much, Dick. No, I just a very short comment. I recall within, I guess, the last year, there was a massacre, and young kids were involved, and it was European in nature. Somebody didn't like some of the political leanings, and he thought maybe they were getting too soft on, I think, the Muslim citizenry in the country, and he went up to this camp and had a slaughter, and that was European. So I just want to remind Wesley that it's not all lily white in other places either. And that's my comment, NY2H Mobile.
Yeah, I think you're referring to the incident that occurred in Scandinavia. I think it was in Sweden.
This one in the past 90 years, starting from 1924, the first one. So my age right now, I didn't hear anything of that happened in my country, previous country, or the countries around. Just, we didn't think about it. A young girl, 15, 14 years old, were stopping the cars, and they're doing it right now, just to take a ride to another city or just uptown. Nobody does anything wrong to that. You know what I'm saying?
And what I was trying to say when Wesley stepped on me was that there was that incident in Sweden, which has a much, much smaller number of firearms in the population, and much of that population is properly educated on how to use those firearms, and yet there was this incident where a very disgruntled Swedish citizen went to that island, that vacation island, and shot up a hell of a lot of people. So firearms can be misused anywhere in the world. And a troubled individual, a person with a psychological problem who has access to those firearms can create a hell of a lot of carnage. It can happen anywhere. So the first step, if you're the United Kingdom, they're a little smarter than us in the big picture in that they drastically restricted the number of firearms that are in the general population. In theory, nobody but law enforcement officials have firearms in the United Kingdom, in theory. And combine that with good education, they have nowhere near as much gun violence as many other places. In our case, we can no longer retract all of those firearms. We're not going to get possession of them, no matter what we do. You can write the strictest laws in the world. You can try to do an inspection of everybody's house if you want to. You're not going to capture all those firearms. We've now got to admit we've got an education problem. In the case of electrical engineers, we've got a huge educational problem on how we teach the wireless science and how we teach antenna engineering. In the case of firearms, we have a huge educational problem on how we teach human beings how to properly control and keep control of the firearms that are in their possession. So, and when it comes to another area of wireless, we have a huge problem when it comes to people's misunderstanding of RF radiation. That damn word that was misused for 100 years. It's RF transmission. It's RF signaling. And that cell site that's directly next door to you is a million to one safer than that cell phone that's in your hand up against your ear a quarter of an inch away. It's an educational problem. We have to educate that public about radio is their friend. In times of duress, like in the case of Hurricane Sandy, you need every darn one of those cell sites and mini cell sites and micro cell sites. You need that communication. And for people to say, I'm not going to allow that thing called cell site to be in my backyard because of the RF radiation. And you get a beautiful group of people, well-educated public, in a place called Bayville, Long Island, in which that particular population has this misunderstanding, and they're making a sincere effort for the last 5 years to eliminate every single radio antenna in that village. It's craziness. It's a huge educational problem. So when it comes to us finding places where education is required, boy, you don't have to look very far. How in the world cell site danger, it's a false alarm. It's a huge misunderstanding. In the case of firearm danger, it's real. In both cases, education is required. We have to first educate the people that they need the education. In many cases, these people are not even in the first step of education. The first step of education is to admit that you don't know something. In a lot of these cases, we haven't yet as a nation admitted that we have a hell of a lot of the population that does not know what they need to know. The next step is once you've convinced them of that, then they've got to start applying the corrective action to know what they don't now know. And then after that, then they're going to know that they know it. And then you've got to be careful of what happens with overconfidence. All of a sudden, you make the assumption that because you know it so well, you assume everybody else in your country also knows it. And you can't make that assumption. So in some cases, we're in the first state of knowledge. In some cases, we're in the fifth state of knowledge. But in all cases, lots of education is required. I think by way of our media, television, telephone, television, internet, newspapers and whatever, we're going to have to slowly educate the public about what education they need. That's a bunch of opinions. You guys probably got some further opinions. Go ahead. Give me your call letters and name, KQRAW, the TechNet.
I have a question. Is hitchhiking illegal in the state of New York, or is it illegal?
KQJHR.
Where hitchhiking is legal, I am guessing, I don't know, that may be county by county decision. And yes, people who do hitchhiking, if the population is treating each other in a humane manner, that can be pretty good. So the people who do it are doing taking an awful lot of risk. K2JHR, start off with your name, sir, and your comment. K2LIW in the TechNet.
My name is Joel. And from the law enforcement end of this, you'd have the genie out of the bottle when you're dealing with firearms, you're dealing with other aspects, when you're dealing with many items. Once the genie is out of the bottle, indeed here it is, this is a major problem because firearms can be procured out of state, firearms can be procured at gun shows, firearms can be procured just about anywhere, and approximately 54% of the people that have firearms in their homes for home protection don't have a clue as to how to use them because they've not taken any proficiency training at all.
Yeah, I'm going to 100% agree with you, Joel. And you may have joined us a little bit late. What I was saying earlier is that we can talk, jump up and down, write a zillion rules, lean on our senators and congressmen, lean on our officials everywhere that we want gun control. If we had proper education, we wouldn't even ask for gun control, no matter what the hell you do. If you got a court order and stopped every single vehicle on every single intersection of the highway, if you inspected every single home and every single shed and every single cellar and whatever, and you think you're going to get gun control, no way in hell. Obviously, all you're going to do is create more and more black market for firearms. The firearms are here to stay. We got to admit that. They are here and now, and there's probably 300 million of them in the United States right now. They're going to be here. Give up on gun control per se. Do it if you want, but it's only going to be a 5% attack of the problem. We need gun safety, not gun control. We need an education of the public that says the firearms are here. This is the proper way to use them. This is the proper way to control where they are located. This is the proper way to give access to those. If you are a responsible firearm owner, like that woman who was the mother of this this troubled person, she legally acquired those weapons. And why in the world a non-hunting woman who doesn't do she doesn't go to a shooting range, why in the world she needed multiple assault weapons in her house? There's another whole set of questions there. But once you allow, let me drop. Once you allow such a potent weapon called assault weapon and multiple of them and hundreds of rounds of ammunition, once she legally acquired that and allowed that to be in the confines of her home, she obviously was not given anywhere near the right amount of education as to how to properly control the possession of those and to control the access of them. The fact that her adolescent child had access to hundreds of rounds and these assault weapons, there's a huge set of errors there. She paid the price. She was shot in the face something like 3 times by her child, her troubled child. And so, as I see it, lots and lots of education is required. I wonder, Joel, if people in law enforcement are starting to say those things. If they're trying to say, we're going to get gun control, that's an extremely naive statement once they're here and now. The weapons are here. To your knowledge, Joel, are the smarter law enforcement people saying, we have to establish the education by which we eventually will acquire firearm safety? We have to seek education, and safety is my strongly felt opinion, and control a way in hell. That's a bunch of opinions. What do you think the law enforcement people are saying, Joel? K2JHR, K2LAW in the Tech Net. Joel, I hope I didn't offend you with some of my strong statements. Joel, you still there? Okay, anyone else with opinions on... Anyone else with opinions on what we've got to do to establish this firearm safety? Wes, keep it brief, but tell me what you think is the right solution to this. N2XJN, K2RIW.
Yeah, I always have a different opinion because I came from different kinds of parts of the world. When I spoke to my wife, she said, well, if you don't have a hammer, you're not going to be efficient in putting nail into the wall or doing anything with a hammer. The same story would be with the firearms. That's the position of most of the European governments. That's why we had one situation at 90 years in Switzerland, and the first one was in 1924. Now, count how many of this situation you had for the past 90 years in the United States. And that would be the solution. And to action.
Yeah, how we got here from there, though, Wes, is that Europeans in the early 1600s, roughly, started moving to this frontier land called the United States. They were leaving what they thought was European oppression, and that oppressed society, leaving Europe, thought for at least two reasons they had to have what's now the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, to protect themselves from misuse of a government, to protect themselves from what they thought were savage inhabitants of the United States, in other words, the Native Americans. They thought they had to defend themselves against that and defend themselves against predator animals, you know, bears and foxes and whatever. So for a bunch of reasons, they were convinced that in this new territory called the United States, they had to have firearms so that they have a militia, so they can establish an army, so that they can protect themselves from animals and protect themselves from what they thought were savages. The huge injustice that took place is that there were hundreds and hundreds of individual tribes of Native Americans who were here first, and for a whole bunch of ways that not fair, we just simply displaced them. We had a number of very good reasons for possessing firearms as we came from Europe to the United States. That's the history. Those weapons are now, they're here and now, lots and lots of them, and you're not going to get them back. You ain't going to put that particular genie back in the bottle. You're not going to put that bird back in the cage. The weapons are here. No matter what you do to try to capture those weapons, you're just going to increase their value on the black market. You've got to admit they're going to be here forever. Now you've got to educate that public as to how to properly use them, how to properly control their access to juveniles, among others, and how to control their access to people who you believe are not stable enough to properly use them. Lots and lots of education is required, is my opinion. Am I wrong on that one? If anybody else has alternate opinions.
John.
Wojcik is a very large gun collector at one time. You're right. You know, they needed guns originally because of the militia element. Okay. Guns became part of this country. Yeah, we had to protect our farmlands from animals and strangers and threats. Sure. But then it became a sport. It became major hunting and major industry. You're absolutely right. Education is what is required. But when you are a gun owner, when I was a gun owner, a large gun owner, I had gun safes. All of the revolvers and pistols and automatic weapons were in a safe, locked up. You don't need more than one personal weapon to protect your home. If you do, you're in a combat zone. I mean, to be real. So these people that think they need multiple weapons, they need education too. And when you have someone who is mentally altered, your weapons should be under lock and key along with the ammunition. She made a very bad mistake, and that is something that's unforgivable. It is her fault. We're always going to have, it's a great country, but we do have some sick people, and they're going to do it again. Whether it's with guns or bombs, if they have that propensity to do that, it's going to happen. But if the education was brought across, yes, it will cut down some of the accidents. I'm sure it would make a big dent in that. But these situations that have come up, education is not going to solve mental problems. But if people lock their weapons up and treat them properly, they're no problem. Back to you, Dick. KC2WGB.
Thank you, Jay. I've got lots of opinions on I want to address what John just said. Eric first. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, and I'd like to point out a couple things. You're absolutely right as far as the history of this country goes. And you got to remember, the first militia that fought for independence was the common person. And they had to deal with the British. Remember, the British were coming? There was a good reason for guns in those days. And if you've ever lived out west, which I have, you need to have a weapon. There's a definite need for just some of the wildlife that you have to deal with and other issues. We do have a bunch of different things going on in this country which are really work against it. There was a time that we actually put money into mental health and psychiatric health, even though we weren't really very good at it, whereas you can travel the streets of many big cities and you'll find mentally ill people walking the streets. If you go back a whole bunch of years, you'll find that they were maybe not justly locked up, but not able to roam around so freely, so to speak, simply because we don't want to spend money on psychiatric health and helping people out. Now, that's one thing. Let me let it drop. If you look at a country like Canada, interestingly enough, because my wife is from Canada, there's a country with 30 million people, and they've got 60 million guns. And they only have maybe a dozen murders by guns a year in the entire country. So that says something about the sociology. What is different there that is way different here, which I can let you guys think about. In Europe, there were a couple of countries like Amsterdam and a few other places, in Brussels, rather, where they actually bought all the guns as the government had changed, and they reduced the amount of firearms that were around, and they have education programs and licensing and the kinds of things that we're supposed to have here, but we don't. So, you know, as you say, Dick, you're not going to get rid of them all, but, you know, you got to start somewhere. And, of course, we have the NRA, which is a lot of people are afraid of, so to speak, although I've been a member of the NRA. And their mindset and the way a certain political group in this country behave, really, and maybe after this now, after all the different events that have happened in this country, they may actually get the idea that, you know, multiple hundred round assault weapons really aren't quite that necessary. K2RW, K2J.
Yeah, here's
mother possessed Glock, multiple assault weapons, hundreds of rounds for them. My goodness. She in theory had enough firepower there to defend herself against some really, you know, an army coming at her. John, you're a guy who I don't know the specifics, but I'm going to make a guess, and you can correct me. I'm guessing that in your enthusiasm for firearms, that at one time or another you possessed enough firepower in your house to defend you against an army to create tremendous amounts of carnage. You had enough firepower to do that. You, as a smart enough guy, had it under lock and key. In other words, you knew where the weapons were, you knew who had access to the key and to the weapons and so on. So therefore, you had established firearm safety in your house. By some magic, you acquired the opinion and knowledge that that was required, and you did it. What was the first step for you? In your case, it was successful. What created that? How did you know that? How did you know that you needed the education to have firearm safety by controlling the access to those weapons? Who first told you that? What motivated you to carry that out? Because it was successful in your case. However the hell it happened in your case, John, we got to do it again. KC2WGB, K2LIW.
KC2AI, Charlie McConnell.
KC2WGB. Well, Dick, in my case, it was easy. I was issued a weapon when I was 6 years old by my father, who had a few weapons. I did not have possession of it, but it was mine. It was kept in a drawer, locked drawer, and we would take it out and shoot. And I was taught how to shoot, how to dismantle the weapon, clean it, and how to use it. That's how it started. And I got, when I was around 13, 14, I started my collection. And it was huge. And I learned safety that way. And you must not only lock up the ammunition, which some people do, you must lock up the weapon itself. And now people are talking about, like you had mentioned, okay, you have a weapon, you can get a 30-round clip, whether it's semi-automatic or automatic, it really doesn't matter. Because you can take a semi-automatic, if you're intelligent, you can make it an automatic. You can take an old M1 Garand, take the sear out. You have an 8-shot automatic weapon. Pull the trigger, 8 shots go out. So it's not too complicated to alter these weapons. So education, number one, and constant safety training. And knowing what a weapon, it's a tool. And to misuse it by someone who's demented, that's kind of tough to prevent. So you've got to prevent the access. They cannot acquire a weapon. That's the whole key there. Back to you, Dick. KC2WGB.
Joel, recognize, I'm going to get you in a second, Joel. That's the clue. At 6 years of age, your father presented you with a firearm. Wow. With proper training. I can remember when my son Christopher and I got stranded in a rural area of Pennsylvania because our car broke down on the way to National Radio Astronomy Observatory. And so we joined their society for 24 hours while the car was being repaired. And I remember seeing a 15-year-old child in that farming community as a rite of passage was presented and as his birthday party present, a beautiful shotgun. That was the rite of passage of many of the 15-year-old children in that community. And that was accepted. The training went along with it. And so, in your case, 6 years of age, in many cases, 15 years of age, and so on. So, proper use of the firearms, they're going to be here, starting at an early enough age by a mature enough parent that teaches the right procedures. But looks like a possible solution. Unfortunately, we've got a hell of a lot of population that's way beyond those ages without that education. I think you got called away earlier, Joel, but I was asking, I believe you either work with or are near people in law enforcement, and I'm wondering, do they have an opinion as to how we're going to establish gun safety? Because control, I think, is out of the question. How are we going to convince this population to need the education that allows them the safety procedures? Okay, looks like we're being cut off. I'll hear you on... Joe,
go right ahead and give your answer. I'll be able to hear you even though you won't come through the machine. K2JHR, K2LIW in the tech van.
But getting people to take that training, all we can do is try to convince them. We do try, and we've been lucky so far, but you're always going to get the nut that can slip through.
Auto connecting.
Node number 9126.
Welcome to the Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club repeater system. Node number 9126 on the New England reflector.
Link active.
A police training unit or military, somebody. There's a lot that can be done. But you never, ever point the weapon at anybody. You never hand a weapon with the breech closed. Oh, there's so many rules that these people have to learn. They don't do any of it. If you go to a local gun range and watch people who know what they're doing, you really see some impressive handling of weapons. You know, occasionally they make mistakes, but they are usually extremely careful. That's what people have to see. KC2WGB, back to you, Dick.
Fantastic. And boy, you said a mouthful there, John. So, look at the contrast here. My daughter acquired a Sudie May mortgage 5 years ago. They would not give her that mortgage until she first took a course, proved that she took the course, answered the questions, that proved that she had the knowledge of how to properly treat a mortgage and not go into default and not go into bankruptcy. She had to take a course to get a mortgage. In theory, anywhere in the last 5 years, my daughter could have bought a firearm, proved that she's got to buy a background check, that she's a responsible citizen, and she can buy her a firearm, and at this time, she's not required to take a course on how to use that. The firearm can kill tremendous numbers of people, and she's not required to take a course. The misuse of a mortgage could create financial greed for one human being, and she is required to take a course. What's wrong with that picture? KC2WGB, K2LIW.
Absolutely right, Dick, and I wish more people could see the inconsistency of how we, I mean, to drive a car, you have to take a course, you have to pass a test, but yet, you could go and buy a rifle. All right, you have to have a check on your criminal record or whatever, but they really don't say you must do this, you must do that. When you're going to buy a weapon and you're going to be responsible, I think it's incumbent on the person purchasing that weapon to protect the weapon and know how to use it, without a doubt. And any, I feel terrible for these officers that have to stop these cars with the tinted windows where they can't see into it if somebody has a weapon. And even if they have a weapon, do they know what they're doing with it? It's just incredible. It's as a KC2WGB, back to you, Dick.
Can you imagine what it's like in the village of Bayville, where because the amount of radio communication in that town is so restricted, if you're a law enforcement person in that town and you pull over a vehicle's windows because you're driving erratically and you're walking up to that vehicle and you don't have a workable radio in your hand in which you can ask a backup and say your officer being fired upon because of the restrictions the population of that village are created radio-wise, that officer is only partially or almost unprotected. And in the scenario is similar to what you're describing, all because of the education about the apparent danger of radio frequency biohazard, of RF radiation. My goodness, is there a miseducation on this one? A huge required for education. Sounds like we've got a purpose, John. We know the right. We think we know a better direction to go. How the heck do we now create, how do we now convince the powers to be to try for gun control if you like, but don't expect very much result, but try for gun safety by way of education? I'm not hearing those words in my news reports. How come? What do we got to do to create that to happen? KC2WGD, K2LIW.
Well, Dick, I agree with everything you say. The ability for us to pass information on, plus acting responsible. When you see somebody handling a weapon, irresponsibly. They take it outside, they wave it around or something like that. That person should not have a weapon. It should be taken away. It should be reported. And you're right. Now, think about the guy, the officer who's stopping a vehicle, and he's out of communication range. The anxiety that he has, knowing that he can get help immediately, you know, that puts more load on the officers. So, and worrying about guns, because it seems that every jerk can have a weapon, but an honest guy who wants to really get a weapon here in New York City has a problem. You're put through the mill, okay? But these criminals are going to have them. So banning guns, like you said, it's not going to solve the problem because they're not going to get all of them. It'll raise the price, just like drugs, and they'll be around. So it's a tough problem, and education is a major issue in it. Back to you, Dick.
It looks like we know where the direction for improvement is, Jim. I guess we got to somehow start propagating this information. It appears as though a subset of this technet tonight has come to a partial conclusion, at least as to a direction for an improvement. And now we got to convince the rest of the population and the media that this is the right way to go. Give up on control. Go for safety. Go for education. Go for establishing procedures by which proper training takes place. And go for procedures by which a person acquiring a license for a firearm must take the course and prove that he has the knowledge of how to get proper access control of that firearm once it enters his house. Alrighty. We've almost solved the problem of the world today. Believe that, I'll tell you another. Bye-bye, you all. This was TechNet number 4128. Next week, next week we're going to solve the rest of the problems. Isn't that true? KC2WGB, KGRAW.
Oh, absolutely. No problem. I don't know how well you're hearing me out there, but I got you buried in the noise, but I can hear what you're saying. Very good, Dick. Enjoyed the TechNet. It was great. We'll talk again soon. KC2WGB.
Hey, Dick. Now, stand by a minute. I'm going to come right back to you. John, when you're listening to me out here, are you listening on 147.975, my transmission, or are you listening to the output of the repeater? Which one are you listening to, John? Go ahead.
I'm listening to 375.
Yeah, well, you're coming on 85 and you're coming on listening.
Oh, so maybe it's coming through at 85. Sure enough, it is coming through at 85. So, you're saying that 375 is noisy out there. Alrighty. Who said hey, Dick? Go ahead.
N2RDB. Good net tonight. Oh, by the way, you know why the Mayan calendar came to an end when it did?
So are you telling me that your Mayan calendar came to an end? The end of the world should happen?
No, it ends December 21st. Well, you know why it comes to an end.
No, but go ahead and tell me.
No more Hostess Twinkies.
So you were a Twinkie enthusiast. How addicted were you to those particular little devices? Go ahead, that's it.
An 8-5.
The damn things. I just thought it was good fodder for a joke.
Okay, what did you do for your job? Stand by while I do a quick test.
I'm out of here. N2RDB. Good night, guys.
You think that the 8-5 is not up. Yes, the signal is coming out at 8-5 from 375. But when I transmit on 2-5, I don't think I'm coming out. Let me do one more test. Now, when I transmit on 2-5, I come out on 375, but I don't come out on 8-5. Good night, John. See you down the log. KC2WGB and the group, KC2RW.
Okay, Dick. Take care of that egg.
Good night, all. 2APG. Hey, Dave, how many kettles are lit tonight? None. Wow, let me think now. Was that away that long? I was only in the hospital 4 days. Is it all was over last night. Boy, am I in the dark. I'm there somewhere. I did a little bit more checking on my original wide-angle binoculars, and my impression is that the only method of adjustment is by way of the concentric rings on the forward apertures, the forward lenses. Out of curiosity, do you own a planar wrench? When I was last in, Harbor Freight, I think they sell spanner wrenches, but I wasn't smart enough to ask for one. Do you own a spanner wrench, Dave?
And to OPG, I do own one. I can't find it. You know, it's here someplace, but I haven't been able to locate it. It's buried someplace. But yeah, I do have one. I don't think that's the case with yours. I sent you an email earlier. I was able to collimate my wide-angle binoculars that I had shown you. They were off a little bit. So there's hope for yours. We can do
it. Out of curiosity, Dave, what did you have to do to collimate your wide-angle binoculars? Go ahead. What did you move?
Well, if you remember, the ones that I had were older and a little bit corroded, and the adjusting screws were seized up, but I was able to get one or two of those adjusting screws to move, and that did the trick.
I think you came to the conclusion that my particular binoculars do not have an adjusting screw. Is that true, Dave?
Yes, I believe that was the case, but that's not a game stopper. There's still other ways to adjust it.
Such as?
Shims.
Okay. Yeah, you were doing shimming of the telescoping eyepiece mechanism, which pushed it a little bit off to one side. When I did a little bit more checking on a tripod, I found that that moves you in the right direction, but doesn't get you all the way there. Another adjustment is required beyond that particular kind of shimming. Now, maybe there's another way that I could take the yoke mechanism that holds the two eyepieces and bend it in a different mode in order to create collimation. But I can tell that by the spanner wrench rings that are up front, there is concentric rings on the forward apertures, which is the way I think they did it at the factory. NTOPG, KTIOW.
Accentuating. Yeah, that's possible. The shimming that we did on the eyepieces, that's really not how I like to, you know, that's just kind of like an extreme measure just to get us in the right direction. But that's not the, you know, the way to go. The way to go is to adjust the prism, you know, the prism tilt. Or we can look at the, you know, those concentric rings. If I can find my spanner wrench someplace.
Yeah, spanner wrench is something that I think I want to own, so I'm eventually going to own one. But the more I think about it, the housing on that pair of binoculars of mine and the hinge in the center is so strong, I'm led to believe that did not move. The mounting of the prism is so strong with no adjustment, I'm led to believe that did move. I'm now of the opinion that as it bounced by falling down one and a half stories, and landing on a tar roof, bending up the living daylights out of the ring around my forward right-hand aperture. I'm guessing it also bounced on the eyepieces. And I'll bet you the eyepiece yoke mechanism did get bent in a certain way. I'm going to take a good hard look at that. And if I can bend that back, that may have been the major way that it shifted. I can't believe the housing bent. I can't believe prisms moved. I can't believe the forward apertures moved. But I can believe that that's a fairly weak yoke mechanism that holds the two eyepieces. I think that did get bent. And I bet you very little bending of that is required to see the amount of misalignment that I've gotten. And 2APG, K2RAW.
Well, from my experience, the prisms moved. That if you